If can you bear with me, I'll try and finish this in 1 hour. Is that okay for you guys? Okay, page one. This is my guideline. It's all about guidelines in life, right? We gotta have some guidelines where we go. Because it's all about Jesus right now. I'm not talking for myself here. I'm just kind of like incorporate words that came from here. This is the Bible, the infallible Word of God. You cannot, this is something. Get it? It's like, how do you make decisions in life? Yeah? What's the basis of your decision-making process? All of us make decisions every day, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might be insignificant, sometimes it may be very, very significant. Sometimes decisions are kind of like conceptions, kind of like joyful, and sometimes not joyful. And when we are in the process of making decisions, it's going to affect us. It's going to affect people around us, right? It's very, very critical sometimes. But you know, we all have to do decision making every day. Yeah. But well, what I want to talk about is how do we make godly decisions. How do we make wise decisions? It's very important, right? There are many examples in the scriptures, the Bible. If you read Proverbs and if you read from Genesis to Revelation, this is how to make wise decisions. Use this, my brothers and sisters. This is the Word of God. And Daniel, I want to talk about is background Daniel, about Daniel's, the one thrown in the lion's den and so kind of stuff. But before we go to Daniel, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was preaching throughout the nation of Israel for a long time. And because they had sins, they walked away from God, judgment was coming upon them. So let's read your notes here. Jeremiah 5:14-18. This is what it says here in Jeremiah 5:14. Therefore, thus says the Lord, God of hosts. Because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth, and this people would, and it shall be devour them. This is the judgment that he's talking about. Behold, I will bring a nation against you afar, O house of Israel, says the Lord. It's a mighty nation. It's an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor you can understand what they say. Their quiver is like an open tomb or a grave. They are all mighty men, and they shall eat up all your harvest and your bread, which your sons and your daughters should eat. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds, and they shall eat up your vines and your fig trees. They shall destroy your fortified cities, in which you trust with the sword. But look at this, 18. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of meaning. The Lord will not destroy Jerusalem above all. That's why when the people in heard this, they put him in jail, yeah, thinking it will stop him, but from prophesying. But here's what happened in the 32nd chapter, 26-28. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give the city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it." Wow. So what's happening here is, what we have read is just being prophesied. Really. And what happened is, King Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem and Judah. Took away everything. Oh, killed 3,000 people. Took away the golds. Even the worshiping, everything from King Nebuchadnezzar, they took it and brought it to Babylon. So Babylon is the Iraq now, yeah? So they took it. So one of those people there, the Hebrews, the kids, actually a teenager, one of his, Daniel, together with his buddies, I'll talk about Shadrach and Abednego later. So all the young kids were brought to Babylon because the king said, here's Pergamino. He told master servant Aspenas, pick the best, handsome, beautiful kids like Freeman, like NN, something. They're about 13, 16 years old at the time. You know, pick each one, then we will Babylonize them. Yeah, we'll teach him what we believe in Babylonian. Yeah, in that. Let's teach him our word use, and let's teach them to praise our own idol gods, not the God of Israel. That's sad, yeah? But to some point, actually, Daniel didn't like that. So I'm going to continue later on what happened to Daniel and the rest of the Pharisees. So what this message is all about is I want to talk to you the whole idea of what's the basis upon which to make decisions in your life. And there are two words. Remember, there are two words I want you to remember before anything else when this message is done. There's two words that I want to tell you that. One, I want to define first what's principle and what's preference. Amen? Amen. Principle in your notes. Principles, the blank day, is a moral rule based on the another blank, on the word of God guiding our conduct. Oh, sorry. Okay, let's move in. So it's a moral rule based on the word of God guiding our conduct. It's a predetermined rule of conduct. That is, if I'm going to operate on the basis of principle, then it is a principle, right? A moral principle of the word of God. That's one way to think, and then one way to make decisions in life. And when a person comes to that, there are principles out of God's word that we must follow. That we must be where we establish that, where our conviction is. The whole sense, like a whole sense of conviction, we should do that. And so the question is, what's the basis of what you believe? Right now, you guys, what's the basis of what you believe? Those of us who believe it, you know, we say that the basis of what we believe is the word of God, so we make decisions consistent with that, right? For example, I'm going to take on the Ten Commandments. It's not there. It's 10. I don't want to mention all of it, so it says, thou shalt not steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery, only worship one true God. In other words, these are the basic principles of the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
These are the basic principles of the word of God. If you memorize the Ten Commandments, good for you. You just go to Deuteronomy or Exodus, it's there. It's right out there, Ten Commandments. So if a person says, I'm a Christian and I live with the truth of God's word, then we live consistently with what God teaches us in his word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's move on. So when the person says, I live by principle, what you're saying is this, I have established a roadway in my life. I'm going to walk that roadway, and I'm going to do that with a conviction telling me to do the right way to look God. Let's make it rather very simple and plain to some degree, right? When a person says, I live by principle, that is, they have guidelines, like the guidelines I have right now. So I can talk to you because I have this. If I don't have this, I don't know where I'm going to go. All over the place. So they establish a guideline by which you guys live or I live. And those guidelines come, again, from the word of God. Amen? And to deviate from that, that is keeping out of who you are. Right? So when you think about what are the principles in your life that you live by, and you say, I live by principle. Can you say that?
I live by principle.
So the next word we're going to touch is preference. Decisions and choices based on likes, dislikes, and desires. So here's where that person operates. Who's Benson? Oh, I'm going to use Benson. Sorry. Actually, so here's with this. Well, today is a bad day, the young boy says. I'm going to call mom. I'm going to skip school. Oh, I'm sick. Yeah, he's going to say, I'm going to call mom. You know what that is? Preferences, I'm going to lie. Right? Because lying will give me what he wants to at that specific time. Free day, no school. Oh, he can be, I don't know what kind. Going to go computer, whatever, telephone. preferences, I'm going to operate on the basis of circumstances. I'm going to operate on the basis of my feelings inside here, my desires, basis of things that please me, yeah? That make me feel good or could profit me if it's something like bad things I'm going to do. And so a person can make decisions based on one of those two. Principle, preference. Remember I told you before my message will end today, I want you to remember these two very important words in our lives to follow. Whether you follow the principle or you're going to do preferences all the time in your life. Okay. Either I'm going to live by principles of the Word of God or I'm going to just be some sort of all around, all over the place. Yeah? We're talking also about situation ethics. That's I'm going to make a decision based on the situation, what I desire to get out of something, out of it. Now here's the problem with that, because it's a dangerous way to live, and it's a very dangerous and destructive way to raise your children, right? Because if they see the parents operating on the basis of preference, they see the contrast of like going, here's what I'm saying, here's what I'm doing, what you do. What you actually do is teaching them to live in a fashion that has no sense of strength, honesty, and protection. You want to protect your children. So you can be a living example day in, day out. Yeah. I think we did pretty good way when we raised Candy McGee. She was young all the way up. She knows that. God is still with her right now. I know that. Here's a good example. I'm going to make an illustration. Down, probably you're driving in highway down in Wahiwa. Where's the dirt road here? Waianae or something. You're driving in a highway. Like this. And then there's a white line, of course. White line in the center. So as long as you drive on the other side of the road, the other guy's driving the other side of the road, so you're safe, right? Safe. It's in the middle of the night. Pitch black, dark night. No lights. And then suddenly, the white line disappears. Then what? So you're wobbling down. Oh, what are you going to do? It's crazy, yeah? It's really, really dangerous to do that at night without any center light in the road. I used to drive in California for, we lived there 7 years, and I experienced one of those kind of stuff when the fog. You can even see the road. When it's fogged there, I don't know. Only you can see the light towards you. It's really hard. So now, the point is here is, the person who makes decision based on preference, like this guy driving on that highway, no center line, right? The desires change, you know. Circumstances change. Life changes too, you know, for you. And as a result, things change. Your decision is based on this preference now, at that particular moment. Maybe another preference, another day, preference, another day. Wow, there's no real sense of direction. You believe that? No guidance for your life. But for a follower of Jesus, I hope you are. And if you are not, well, I'll pray for you, and Pastor Ben will pray for you for sinners and for all. And want you to accept the Lord just right now, because every day is really, really very critical. The end of time, we always talk about end of time. But please accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior right now if you are not. Amen? Amen. We will pray for you now. Follower of Jesus, the basic conviction, or those conviction becomes principle by which we live. And without them, you're just there. Without them, you're just there. So Daniel's parents taught him very early in life to live by principle. Because here's what happened. So they were brought to Babylon, right? They really, the king wants to train them, the best wise man, a young man from Jerusalem for 3 years so that they can serve him. But again, before they serve him, you should be a Babylonized guy already. See, and, you know, follow all their laws and regulations and all kind of stuff. So, also, Daniel was brought up by his parents. Because in Jerusalem, they have this ritual they call Bar Mitzvah, right? When you reach the age of 13, they'll do that ritual. Because you are considered an adult, that you are already a accountable for actions you're going to do in life. It's really very important then. That's a ritual there. Bar mitzvah. At the age of 13. For the women, at the age of 12, bat mitzvah. Meaning to say they are very, they can marry, they can go to the court, they can go, the boys can, the teenagers can join the minyan. Minyan is a group of about 5 to 10 people Bible studying already at that age. Can you believe that? So, and also the Jews, they are the chosen people of God. The Bible is from Jerusalem. From young age, that's what they teach. The Torah. And then, of course, many sect there, from Orthodox to Reformed to Conservative to Messianic Christian, all that kind of stuff. Anyways, so there was a point in time that Daniel was, the king said, oh, we're going to serve you the king's feast, the food of the king. You know what? Daniel denied that. He told him, no, I cannot do that. It's not under Mosaic law that we will eat food offered to idols. If you guys read the Bible, that's what it is in there. So Daniel denied that. He wants to stick out to the principle that he was taught at the young, early age, and also the law of the Word of God. Amen? So even his, I'll tell you later on the stories about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their names were changed from Daniel to Belteshazzar, the king. Well, let's even change them so that they forget their God. Daniel to Belteshazzar. Hananiah to Shadrach. Mishael to Meshach. And then Azariah to Abednego. So there's our buddy there. So, what happened is, when Daniel really defied that, he was able to have an alternative with the servant. Said, oh, why don't you just, we don't want to eat that food. It's not for us. Can you give us just vegetables and water for 10 days and compare us to the other students? You give them the best food, whatever, pork, beef, chicken, all of that, filet mignon. And just vegetables and water for Daniel. You know what? Everything went fine. It's good. So, now, watch this carefully. When you desire, and you are committed to living by principle, by the truth of the Word of God, that no matter what the invitation may be to do otherwise, God will see you through. So Daniel was vindictive. They turned out, they were really wise men, and I'll tell you later on, he even have this, the king, yeah, has been given him a position. But anyway, how many times God intervened in Daniel's life, we don't know, but man, he really went all the way, sticking to his principle, the Word of God. And because the first 6 chapters of Daniel gives us illustrations after illustration of how he suffered through these results of his conviction. You recall one occasion, so when Daniel was really good, he did so good, so the king gave him a position, right? He was the governor. Can you believe that? One of those. All. So the other guys were so jealous and they plotted to kill him. So they formulated a decree that this was the decree that it was. No, you have to bow down to the king. Their king and their worship, their idols. And you cannot worship your own God in public. So you know what Daniel did? He always did what he always did. Why would I give up my principle? He still prays certain times of the day, and show that his reverence to God. He will not give that up. That's principle. He could have said, oh, well, I can hide. I don't have to tell them I'm praying, on my own. You can do that too. Prayer is actually, there's no rule in praying, but hey, if it's time for him to pray and worship the Lord God, why not? So if he does that, so what's he going to do? That's preference. It's not the principle that he wants to entail, yeah? Preference is just not right. Daniel said, I have a principle. Not even the government, not even your law. I don't want to follow that. But you know what happened? He was thrown in the lion's den. And do you know what happened? He was vindicated. Nothing happened in the times then. even look at this, very interesting thing is, the king said, instead of calling him, Belteshazzar said, oh, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you? That's in the Bible. This is the scripture. He didn't call Belteshazzar. Daniel stuck to his conviction again. He said, you know what I really cost? I'm not eating that food given to the idols. I'm not going to stop praying. Period. That's my principle. You know what? Not only did God spare him, Daniel lived 7 years in Babylon with four kings. Four kings. Nebuchadnezzar, his son Belshazzar, Darius, and then King Cyrus, the first year of King Cyrus. You guys get to read this. Beautiful, the whole book of Daniel. David and Abigail. That's your son's name. You get to read the Daniel 16 chapter. And also the book of Daniel, the last few chapters is one of the most important thing of prophecy to be found in the Word of God. This is just like Revelation. Daniel's Revelation, if you read Revelation to the end of the book. You know what? I'm living by principle, no matter what you do to me, I'm not giving it over to God. God honored him. What I want you to see is, God honored his living by principles. Now let me ask you, this is a very important question again. Do you live by principle, or do you live by preference? That's a very, very tough question, yeah. Because all our lives, there are a lot of preferences right now that we always,
principle.
In other words, you have a certain basic conviction of which there is absolutely no question. Do you have that? Do you have a belief system that is such a part of your life right now? You cannot be tempted to go beyond that. Yeah? Because you've committed yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe this is his word, you committed to that, and it's not a matter of something that is convenient right now. It's that it's popular or profitable or easy or satisfying. The issue is it right or is it wrong? Principle is that white line there, down the road, in the middle of the night. And without it, you're all over the place. Amen? So when I look at Daniel and ask the question, well, at that early age, how did he learn the difference between principle and preference? I tell you where he learned it. Again, he learned it from his parents. Back to the young girls. All of us here, mostly are our parents, kids. It's a beautiful thing that you guys bring the kids to church. Because I can't fathom to thank my father and mother that we were brought a Protestant in the Philippines. Sunday is a must. Get to church, Bible reading. Sundays, I took Sunday school before 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock service. We have children, you know. And not to brag, of course, life is like up and on, up and on. But all my life, I am so thankful that my parents did that to us. There was a foundation for that, the Word of God is the most important thing in life. Amen?
Amen.
So, he had to learn it from his parents, he had to learn it from them, and I would simply ask you this, do your children, how do they do? Did they see you, this is not a rigid, but definite sense of commitment, that there's certain things that you don't allow in your life, right? Limitations in your life, things that you will not do. The way you treat maybe money, the way you treat people, whatever it is, might be they might see you in a very clear line. Maybe not too super religious. It's the fact that you have basic conviction. Those convictions are based on the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And you make that very plain to them. And they understand that. If you want your kids to love you and support you and to be faithful and loyal to you when you give them principles to live by, and you live by them too, that builds a sense of intimacy with them, right? That builds a sense of wonders of them that they never escape. Because they'll be tested and tempted and tested in the same way too. Like, you know, I couldn't imagine the kids right now. It's really different from where we usually grow up. So it's just different. And those will survive following the principles in life. They are the ones going to be blessed. Because the world is full of preferences again, right? You have so many preferences. try this, do that, nobody's gonna know. It's just you and decide with a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And who knows where you went, where you go. In other words, all these things, people have to make decisions about. This is this. What are the guidelines again? Your life. What are the guidelines? If a guideline is a biblical moral laws of God, oftentimes this decision will be so simple, it wouldn't even be an issue at all. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't fit you who you are sometimes. Now, there's another word I want to talk about. Oh. Conviction. Yep. A principle, actually that's a blanket, of which I am committed and purpose to follow. All of us have convictions. But some people have convictions that's not biblical. That's not. But because we are a follower of Jesus Christ, then biblical principles should be the basis of all our convictions. Amen? I want to pray that should be our biblical conviction, the Word of God. Now let's think about some of those areas when you ought to have this one. Immovable and unalterable conviction. This one. The Bible. Jesus. Do you have an alterable, changeable conviction about the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only Savior of the world? That's a very, very, very powerful question. You have conviction about that? Now, somebody say, oh, he is a good man, Jesus. He's a healer, he's a prophet, and a good teacher. But he can be the only way. That is sad. That means you don't know the Word of God. Yeah? I'll pray for you about that if you think that way. Do you believe the Bible as the true Word, or you do not? If somebody says, well, you know, I believe most of it, but not all. Again, you need a Bible study with that, you know. If this book is errors in it, where's the errors? Who's going to judge where the errors? Nobody. And you see, that's like the written line off the white line here. No guidelines. Same thing. Yeah? You have to have biblical and immovable convictions about things that you do not allow to change. Well, like, again, I'll give an example. Our bodies, whether you're a man or a woman, you're going to do anything about it, promiscuously, or a guy womanizing, or what, drinking, drugs, whatever. Everything. No. When you're with God, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. One person of the Trinity living within you as a child of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is not your body. Paul says that. We're not our own. I mean, have you any idea what to do with this? I want to, you know. Everything, drink. Again, crazy stuff. It is not your own. What's the verse that we get one? 1 Corinthians 6:19, please. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Whom you have from God, you are not your own.
Ooh.
Amen?
Amen.
You are not your own. So, if you believe that your body is the temple of God, you be careful how to use your body, what you put in it, and be careful how you treat it. Because we are representatives of Jesus Christ now. Amen? We are. So you gotta be really careful. It has nothing to do with basis, whatever. It has to do with principle. It has to do with moral conviction. It has to do with that white line down the road when you're driving in a pitch dark block. You know where you're going. It's about that. And now, so let's look at Daniel again. There came a time, he made that stand, yeah? And he really stick to his principle. Another thing about, you have conviction about money. Principle of money. That is, money is not to be God, right? Bible says, don't worship money and God. It's either God or money. Money is a means of accomplishing a lot of things. Tubing, giving, helping us, other people, whatever it might be. Many, many good things about money. But do I have a preference about money to the point that if I cheat or steal, I'll do it? Yeah? It's not going to be all right. For example, let's say, oh, I go to the grocery store. Yeah. The cashier gave me $20 more than I'm supposed to have. And then I get $20 again. $20, 20 bucks, praise the Lord. $20, praise the Lord. Is that right? And then you stand there, you quit, then you go, oh, I went to Sunday last week and they said, my Bible teacher, my Uncle Milton said, thou shalt not steal. Ooh, but how does this work? Because preferences will kill you, my brother and sister. Preferences will kill you. Yes? Yeah? Thank you. Preferences will destroy your testimony. Amen?
Amen.
If stealing is a sin, or stealing $5, $10, $20 and $20 from your entire stranger, it's a sin. Nothing else. It's stealing. And principles don't change, and our conviction should be based on principles, and those principles are divine principles. Amen?
Amen.
The principles of the Word of God. I'm almost there. Don't worry. A few more pages. If you can bear with me. Listen, you cannot violate principles of God. You cannot get by it. And when you do things by preference, this is what I want to do today. A lot of people do things that are very questionable, and you ask them why. It's not my business. No, it's not your business anymore. When you are a child of God, it's not your own business anymore, my friend. Yeah. Questions people do that. Like, questions they always ask. Why do people choose to live by preference when it's not the best way to live? Right? Now, one reason also people, because they have this fear of rejection to other people. Is it happening to you guys sometimes? Rejection, you're being rejected because you don't want to do what they want to do. And you don't want to go where they want to go. They're going to reject you. Right? Mm-hmm. Cool. I have a lot of times about that. If that's not where God wants you, and you are convicted about it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference what they think. But hey,
right.
You got to stick to your principle. You got to stand like Daniel did. Right? Principle, not preference. Amen?
Amen.
Principle, not preference. Whether it's money or any other issues we talk about, and you live by preference, where in life? One of the reasons, because people cannot stand rejection, and sometimes in financial thing, if it's a matter of money, the issue sometimes is greed. Yeah? Greed, right? And then you think about these things, you hear in the news, financial breakdowns, companies. And they even justify that it's right. No, that's preference. That's not principle what they're doing. Amen? That's preference. Same thing about your workplace. If you want to outdo somebody, you want to get promoted by yourself, you got to do everything that's bad to make that position, for yourself. It's preference. What happens? You're living by preference here. If you do it your way, the best way, and not impressing somebody and you get the promotion, fine. That's the principle that you need to do. Work hard. Work ethics, number one, is the most important thing. Go be a walk a mile. What the Lord says in the scripture, brother? You go walk a mile, something. Yeah? Yeah? After work, you can have extra time to do that. Then your boss will see you and then be promoted in a manner that's really a blessing to you. Amen?
Amen.
Every single aspect of life, you have to decide. Is it going to be preference or is it going to be principle? And lots of times people grow up believing the Word of God, and somewhere along the way they still step over into the preference world. It's sad. Sad. You have to start living by preference. By principle, man. Not preference.
Review.
Remember the two words. People, I'm almost done. Two words you're not going to forget. Principle.
Preference.
Yep. Okay. that guideline will protect you.
Yeah.
And once we go beyond that guideline, we'll, like the guy again, wobbling on that highway with no center line, pitch black, nothing. They're living by preference, and they lack moral convictions if you do always do the preference. Okay, where are we? Okay, whoa! You want me to jump in there? I'm done. But I still have a lot. Daniel is a beautiful example of a man who decided where in life, because he was taught to live by really principles, even when he knew it could be costly to him. He's taken that, and then he lived 70 years, four kings. He impacted everything in that king for the past 70 years in his life in Babylon, in Iraq. Listen, even if you suffer for what we believe, the truth is God's going to use that to somebody's life too. He's going to use your testimony doing the writing in someone else's life. So his other three buddies, remember what happened? They replied also bowing on the statue of the Babylonian gods. What happened to them? They were thrown in the fiery furnace of fire. And you know what happened? God protected them. Nada. Only the guards were burned, but them, they were standing like, hallelujah. Nothing happened. God will honor their principle. Amen?
Woo.
Woo. Good preaching?
Mm-hmm. Preach it.
You want
preach
me to stop now?
No.
almost. All of life's decision is making is white line. You decide it's the way I'm going to live. These are the principles I'm going to follow no matter what. And sometimes you said it's costly, but God always honors obedience. Mm-hmm. And you have to decide, am I going to be obedient? Or just leave all the consequences to Him? Or am I not? And you see, God doesn't want us to live with this upheaval on the inside. Like, how am I going to do this? Suppose this happens. Suppose God says things. Suppose He says this. Suppose He says that. Listen, when you live by principle, you know what your response and what you're going to do in life. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to do it. So, let me jump in, cut it short. Let's go to the requirements, because it's too long. I have so many good points here, but I know you're going to be sleeping, right? Five requirements to live by principle. Let's see. See, to live by principle, you're going to have to really live for something more important and greater, right? Live for Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God. There's another... after that, it says, and bear witness of who He is in your life after the kingdom of God. Live for Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God, and bear witness of who He is in your life. That should be the first. So the second one is to live by principle. Be very, very clear as to what you believe. This is the one that an immovable thing, unaltered, conviction that you should know that Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. You're going to believe what you believe. This one. You cannot change this. This is my American Express. I don't leave home without it. Everywhere I go, I don't know. It's just crazy stuff, but I'm crazy for God right now. So the third one is to live by principle, you can expect conflict. This is very given. People don't like it when you live by principle, because they like to live by preference, right?
Mm.
That's very, very challenging. They don't want to be part of their life sometimes. They don't want their way of living, because you keep on pushing them on. Come on, do the work of God. But I think the approach is the most important. It's conviction. That's part of the conviction. You reach out to someone, our family, our friends, our acquaintances, everyone that you meet every day of your life. My wife and I are so blessed that kind of like talk about who can really right now. I'm gonna cry if I tell you the story. I'll do that next time. God spared my wife, remember, last May.
Praise the Lord.
I don't wanna. Right now, she's just praising God, crying to God. and I'm so happy about that. Because we are going to be a testimony to people around us. It's a blessing. Next message, I'll talk about that. Not right now. I don't want to. Right. I love you, honey. 33 years today. Thank you for saying yes to me. Maybe I still have fallen to some other hunky-punky lady. But you are the best. There's only one Tina Rhodes Diaz. That's my wife. And that's a pretty young daughter there.
Yeah.
With candy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So the fourth one. To live by principles, you're going to make your decisions and live all the consequences of God. Your hands. Lord, it's all yours. You put everything at the cross. Be still and know that I am God. The word in His time. We always pray, we always question when God doesn't make sense. Why did He ask the answer? But hey, make your, leave it all unto God. Make your decision, leave all the consequences to God. And He will answer you. Maybe not right now, maybe later, or maybe never. You know why? He's going to develop your character first before He answers yes to you. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to put you in Bible study with faithful men on your own. He's going to convict you to read the Word every day. Amen? Do devotions. The last one is the most important thing. To live by principle. Believe in the sovereignty of God and that He is in absolute control of every single thing. That's the key. Trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. Amen?
Amen.
That means when you live by principle, you live in obedience. And therefore, you believe that He is great enough, powerful enough, loving enough, and interested in you enough. In all circumstances of your life. Don't worry about the consequences. That's who God is. He will take care of you. So I would simply ask you this. Which one of this feature, they call you, they're going to call you dogmatic? Or fundamentalists. They can tell you anything they like for you. But which one fits you best? Are you a person who knows what you believe right now? If you meet it with just beliefs because they're the moral laws of God and you don't budge, period. I believe in God. I believe in the Son of God. I believe that He's the one who's going to save me. I will repent for my sins and live for Him. Amen?
Amen.
For to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. It's Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ right now. And to die, I know I'm going to be up there with my parents and my three brothers. Two brother-in-laws, one brother. Up in heaven. Yeah. Decision-making process in your life. How you live. Which means, watch this. You only travel that white line. Everything else is nada. Here's what I want you to remember again. Don't forget this. What are the two words?
Principles
and preference. And the other thing I want you to remember is this. How would you feel driving 65 miles on a dark road, not white line, and ditches on both sides? Wouldn't you agree that it's dangerous? It is, right? When you set aside those principles, that's the road you choose to follow. Which is not right. What should it be? Principle or preference? Listen to me. It will protect you. It will protect your children. It will protect your family, your grandchildren. It will protect your testimony. Amen?
Amen?
All the days of your life. I'm done, almost done. Five more minutes. Well, if you're here this morning, you're not a believer. You say, where did I start? Here's what you start. Oh God, forgive me my sin and accept His forgiveness, Father. Based on the shedding of His blood at Calvary, asking Him to forgive you and surround your life to Him. Surrender your life to Him. That's where it all begins. And that's my prayer for you guys. Because if you don't, you're going to waste your life. You know you'll never find any happiness apart from Jesus. Believe me, you never. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Father God, how grateful we are this morning for Daniel, Lord. His life, his courage, his convictions, the principles about which he lived. And it is our prayer, Father, right now, that everyone that's here will be wise enough. Because it is wisdom to choose to reverence you and to honor you, Father, by living according to your rules, your regulations, your laws, and the wonderful love that you pray for us. Amen?
Amen.
I pray for somebody here who is not unsaved, not a Christian, living a life of pure preference. And I already know it's not working for you guys. There's no peace, joy, no happiness, no security. If you choose principle, bingo. You got it right. I pray for those believers like us who would have to say, oh, that's the way we're living. Their preference, not their principle. That you would change our heart to them. Because I do sometimes. I'm not perfect. I can be preference way sometimes, but I'm convicted sometimes. God always tells me, no, that's a no-no, Omar. You don't want to do that. Sometimes that's life, but again, principle, preference. Thank you, Father God, for the promise that you will never leave us, Lord. It's right here. Never forsake us. That you're always there, Father, for us, even when living by preference, Father God, that the result is pain and suffering and heartache. We bless you, Father God, for blessing us and for being the awesome God you are. To see us through every circumstance of life. And we pray that each one of us, Lord, will have the conviction to be our best, look our best, and to follow, Lord, the principles of the Word of God every day of our life. In Jesus' name, and everyone say,
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
You know what's funny? I remember one time one of my relatives, you know, came up to me and said, Dan, you know, I just went shopping and there's like a lot of sales going on, you know, it's during Christmas time and he was telling me that rice cookers at this place were on sale. And so she decided to buy 3 rice cookers. And when she was in her car, she realized that she was only charged for 2. And she looked at me, she said, you know what I did then? I said, oh, God, you went back, right? I said, no, I went home and I praised the Lord. Really? And I said, so you didn't return? I said, no, you don't understand, Ben. God is so good to me. He does this for me all the time. I don't have to pay for things. I buy 4 or 5 things, and sometimes I don't pay for 2. And you're praising the Lord for this. And I kind of thought about this. Don't you realize that God has called you to be set apart for Him? We are not to be like the world. Because you know what? When it comes to what my brother just told us about today, preference and principle, because you know what? Preference will say, I score. I didn't have to pay for this thing. But principle says, you know what? The Word of God tells me, God hates, He says, He hates dishonest scales. He hates a deceitful tongue. So what are we going to do? Knowing the Word of God says we are to be honest, we should go back and return and tell Him, you know what? I didn't pay for this. And you know, I have to tell you, there are times I was put in this kind of situation. I remember one time I was with my son, and I bought like 3 highlighters, and I remember I only got charged for 2. And I remember I was kind of in a rush, and my son kind of looks at me and goes, oh, what's wrong, Dad? And I remember my son was kind of young, maybe like 5 or 6 or something like that. I said, oh, son, I didn't get charged for one highlighter. So he kind of looked at me and goes, so what you gonna do, Dad? I knew what I had to do, right? So we gotta go back. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm in a rush here, but I said, I gotta go back. So I went to the lady and I stood in line, you know? I was late for my next appointment, but stood in line for like 15 minutes. And finally got to the lady and she goes, oh, what's wrong? I said, you didn't charge me for one pen. And she kind of looked at me and she goes, so? You don't understand, you didn't charge me for this pen. And she kind of leaned right towards me and she goes, it's okay. And my son kind of looking at me, okay, Dad, what are you going to do? And I go, you don't understand, I really want to pay for this pen. She said, okay, up to you. And this is the thing, right? When it concerns preference and principle, we got to live by principle. I said, the principle of the thing is, I know, first of all, my son is looking at me. And he's seeing, am I living by example? Because I can tell him about the Word of God. I'm not living by example. It goes out the door, the Word of God. I got to live the Word of God according to what it tells me. And it tells me to live an honest life. It tells me that I must not have a deceitful tongue. So I say, please charge me for that. You know, the world would think we're crazy for it. But it's okay. Because guess who you just please? You please our Father in heaven. Knowing you did it His way. Amen?
Amen.
And you know the Word of God tells us, Peter, he tells us, tells the believers, live such good lives among the pagans. Pagans are people who worship idols. So live such good lives among them that they will see your good deeds and they will praise and glorify your Father in heaven. It's how we live the Word of God. That's what makes a difference. So we are to live according to principle, not by preference. What an awesome message my brother preached today. Oh, it really touched my heart too. And realize sometimes, like he says, I do that too. Sometimes I want to make myself happy and I go, oh, I prefer this. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will let you know, oh, no. This is not what pleases me. We got to tune into that voice and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. Because if you truly want a life that is blessed, it must be done God's way. Amen? There's no other way but God's way. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message that was spoken so mightily through my brother Omar. Lord, we choose to be a people that are set apart for you. And that means we got to live according to your word. We got to do things where the world thinks we're crazy. The world thinks, hey, you're low. But we know when we choose your word brings forth life. And we know this is the only way that we can truly have the abundant life you promised us because we're living according to your word. And our children, they're taking note. They're taking notice. Are we actually living according to what we preach and teach them? And I thank you, Lord, knowing, Father, as we continue to live according to your ways, we will be truly blessed. If we try to live according to the world standards, if we try to live according to what the world teaches us, we know, the Bible tells us, that only leads to a path of death and destruction. We will not experience the abundant life that you promised us. So now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I really sense the Holy Spirit is tugging in my heart right now. I realize I've been a Christian for some time, yet I think I've been living according to preference. Not principle. But you're saying, I'm going to make that choice today. I'm going to live according to the Word of God. I know what the Word of God tells me to do, and I'm going to live it. Know that you don't have to do this alone. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit of God will counsel you. He will give you the strength. He will empower you to do what is right before the Lord. And if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, and you say, I'm going to turn from my worldly ways, from my fleshly ways, I'm going to turn to Jesus Christ, who will lead me to His abundant life. And if that's you, can you raise your hand and say, that's me? I'm making a decision to live according to God's word. Hallelujah. Anyone else, raise your hand up high and say, that's me. I choose to live according to the ways of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? praise God, praise God, hallelujah. Put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. More importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, oh, the devil, he's no longer going to have his way in my life. He's been deceiving me, and he's been telling me to choose the ways of the world. No more, Father. I'm going to choose you because I truly want to walk into those paths of blessing that will lead to greater and greater blessings. Father God, will you just let your Holy Spirit's presence just fall upon your children right now? Let your Spirit's presence of love, peace, and joy fill our hearts, overflowing of your goodness. Father God, as we decrease, may you increase in every way. I praise you, Lord, knowing that you just want to lavish us with more of your love. Let it continually increase, Lord, as we continue to trust and believe in you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with Father God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start by praying a simple prayer, but it must come straight from your heart. You must say, Lord, I'm serious about this. I want to give my life to you. And you know the Holy Spirit is listening right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a minute here. And if you are ready and willing, don't delay. The Bible says, if you are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of you. But if you accept him today, he will accept you into his family. And you will be called a child of God. So if that's you, you know the Holy Spirit is tugging your heart. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Make a decision for him. It'll be the most eternal decision you have ever made. And if you're ready, you want to say yes to Jesus Christ, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm saying yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Raise your hand and say, yes. I say yes to Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together. Pray from your heart, knowing that our Father is listening right now. And if you offer this prayer to him from your heart, you're going to start seeing his hand move in your life. You're going to start seeing miracles start to happen in your very own life. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I need you.
I need you.
And I give you praise for who you are.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
Who died for me on the cross.
Died for me on the cross.
But on the third day.
On the third day.
He rose again.
He rose again.
And he lives in my heart.
And he lives in my heart.
I give you praise for that.
I give you praise for that.
And Father God.
Father God.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
But your word says,
if I confess of my sins,
you are faithful and just
to
forgive me of my sins
and
cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me now, Lord,
and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this. So you can hear me, Father God. And so that everyone can hear me. So that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. And I live for him only.
Father God,
write my name
in
your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Yes. Let's give glory to God.